Welcome to the perfect triangle. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And now, the perfect triangle.
Naturally, we believe in our own race. Any man or woman worth anything believes in his own race as he believes in his own family. Not because you believe in your own race or in your own family doesn't mean you want to injure other races or other families. On the contrary, you will do them any good turn that you can. They talk to what they call multiracialism. Take humanity, put it in a bag, shake it together, and heaven knows what would come out. We can live in peace and friendship side by side in separate nations and separate developments, but we cannot have the mix-up of peoples and races who are widely different and divergent. It will lead to nothing but trouble. You're living in a historic hour. When this period comes to be written, and men look back at it, if we did right, if we stood firm, if we stood greatly, it will be a matter of honor and of veneration for generations to come. I could not ask to live at any other moment of history than this, because never has mankind, never has the human species been confronted with such possibilities, with such choices, that lifts us for a greater heights and greater glory. My friends, do live in that sense that you are Englishmen, that you are European, that you come from people who face tremendous odds again and again, that much is against you, but you've got within you that will, that spirit of the law, that faith and that belief, which will lead the generations to come to look back at you in the pages of history with the proud words, to England, to Britain, to Europe, they were true.
Never again will 1.5 million Jewish children be turned into soap and ash and lampshades. Never again!
the Bible has commanded you to be an ally of Israel and Jerusalem in your thoughts, in your prayers, in your giving, and in your heart of concern and compassion. It is impossible to be a serious student of the Bible and a dedicated believer without understanding your responsibilities and your spiritual responsibilities to Israel, to Jerusalem, and to God's chosen people.
They've been expelled throughout the world more than 1,000 times. Whoever lets them in has got to be out of their mind. They take control and drive the nation into ruin. But there is something I can do. Yeah. Towers turned to dust live on the news. Right away I knew it had to be something to do with Jews. That set us up for what we're going through since then. If we don't prevail, this time is the end. They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Uber Bench. I'm gonna fight until these Jews have been deposed from my land. I see two pipes disguised with my superhuman sight, crypto kite. You change your name, you comb your hair to catch the goyim unaware. Fix your crooked nose and work to turn our country's brown. You had us fighting German men, but this is now and that was then. And you can bet that we would back our brothers now. They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Ubermensch. I want all white nations to declare Jews permanently banned. I see right through their lies with my superhuman sight. But my crew still call me Ubermensch. I'm gonna fight these Jews until they've all been thrown from my land. I see through Kike's disguise with my superhuman sight, crypto Kike. Yeah! They call me Nazi, but my crew still call me Ubermensch. I'm gonna fight these Jews and you too if you don't take a stand. Next step is genocide, the final solution, right? Crypto guy.
I'm Jewish.
No, that's a bit of a problem.
You will read the Talmud. You will worship Saturn. You will be circumcised. You will suck baby dicks. Come on, Goy. Make your mind up time. Come, be a Shabbos Goy. Huh? This is anti-Semitic. Oy vey.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, Wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada, white England, white Germany, white Italy, white Ireland, white Scotland, white France, and all the other white European countries. Wake the fuck up. Wakey, wakey. Hello, everybody. This is the Perfect Triangle, number 234. It is May 2nd, 2025. Hard to believe we're into May already. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo, and what an honor it is to have co-host Zach and one of the guests here, Glenn Streeter's here, and soon we should be seeing Jeffrey Doherty join us, one of the biggest names to join FTJ via FTJ Pro. But welcome, Zach. Good to see you back, and how are you feeling, and what's on your mind these days?
I'm feeling good, G. I'm got some nice springtime allergies are kicking in.
Yeah, it's bad this year.
It's very bad, yeah, seriously. But I'm excited, as usual, to do another Friday afternoon show. I'm looking forward to meeting the new guests today.
Yep, Mr. Glenn Streeter is a friend of mine and hasn't been on in a while. Got to start, especially with his quarter century in high-tech energy healing savvy and expertise. He is the owner and CEO of EnergyMedFit.com. Welcome, Glenn. We'll be talking about that, and hopefully Jeffrey will be showing up pretty soon. As of last night, he was good to go. Hopefully there's no problems. So how are you, Glenn? I can't unmute you. You have to unmute yourself.
I'm great, Giuseppe.
There he is.
I was just on the phone with Jeffrey. Got the time square. Got the time difference. He screwed up the time.
Oh, that's funny, because I put his time zone. He's in Central Time, right?
Kansas, yeah.
Oh, well, he'll be here soon, then. That's awesome. So, Glenn, meet Zach, by the way. Zach's the young prodigy who's one of the big, big growing stars of FTJ Media, and Zach had a vision to help educate normies on what Hitler's really about. He's gotten some of his posts on X Twitter, have reached millions of people. The guy's a sharp guy, and Glenn is another sharp guy. So, fellas, get to meet each other and say hello. And Glenn, what's going on in your world, man? So much craziness these days.
So good for you, Zach. I do listen to you. You're a bright young man, and you have great things to say. So what's going on? We have a new Telegram channel called Energy Medicine. If folks are on,
yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it.
You got some great minds on there interacting, and have another project on YouTube called Adventure Tomek, T-O-M-E-K. That's a motorcycle channel, just to kind of give me a distraction from all the pain and misery.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, tell people a little bit about you're quite accomplished in motorcycle racing and have been for decades. And as we previously discussed, you have used some of your various products at Energy Med Fit to be a man in his mid-50s, is out competing some of these young bucks in their 20s in these grueling motorcycle races. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So I'm blessed or cursed, however you look at it. My life has just been one big experiment on what's possible. I don't know if we talked about it before, but I was on a team in 1991. We broke the world speed record on the Appalachian Trail.
No kidding. I did not know that.
We did 45 miles a day for 52 days straight.
Wow.
And won that record. But that's been shattered since. But just an example that I've always been in situations where that were extreme as an athlete. And thank goodness for energy medicine in terms of recovery from injuries and the ability to perform at a high level, even when you're fatigued, and to be able to focus. And the whole idea of biophysics versus biochemistry comes into play here. So if we focus on products that have a biophysics background, these products are alive and they have a vibrational signature, much like homeopathy versus a Big Mac.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of these events are quite grueling. They're anywhere from an hour to 8 hours, desert races or through the woods. And it's right up there with soccer, water polo, and rock climbing in terms of output.
Wow, fantastic. Well, we're joined by the biggest name yet to join FTJ Media. Jeffrey, do you have your speakers on too? Because I'm hearing an echo, and I see you have a headset.
I do have them all, but I haven't plugged in the headset. I thought we were, I don't know how I messed up the time. I apologize for that, gentlemen.
Oh, no worries.
Is that better?
Test. Yes, you solved it. So welcome, Jeffrey Daugherty. I've been a big fan of your work for years, and I was very saddened to see you, like young Zach, like Glenn, you two are an alpha male, multi-talented, creative. You've had a very fascinating life path as a college-level athlete, then went into the military, then you were deeply involved with the Christian religion for a while, then you became the unindoctrinator, to paraphrase. And it's just a fascinating journey, and you're clearly a big brain. And so why don't you tell everybody, I gave like the crib notes. Tell everybody about yourself in any level you'd like to.
Well, I appreciate you first and foremost. And I think that your praise is way too effusive, but I do appreciate it very, very much. Basically, I was a kid that grew up in Florida. I had a cup of coffee in college football. I was slow before I got injured, and after that, it was over. Went into the Air Force for a few years. Got called to preach, as I would call it then, and spent the next 20 years pretty much as a full-time Christian pastor. I was basically an evangelist. I was paid to blow in, blow up, and blow out, mainly with the Assemblies of God. And then started figuring out, started seeing the cracks, if you will, in the foundation of big-time religion, and studied my way back into the original languages exclusively, being that Greek and Hebrew in the biblical text, and found out, G-Man, that in my estimation, that the Judeo-Christian religion was nothing but a fear and guilt, blood magic, mind control matrix. And then I don't want to use the word possessed, but I became very motivated to at least give people all the information from the inside so that they could, you know, make their own decisions. And the term Christian whistleblower came, I was on Coast to Coast AM, and somebody called me the Edward Snowden of the New Testament.
That's awesome.
They meant it as a slur, but I said, you know what? That's pretty good, because basically am. I've been in the NSA, if you will, of Christianity. I've been on the inside, and as the Christian whistleblower, my job's pretty simple, is just to make sure everybody gets the information they need to make a good decision on a subject that's more important than life. It's bigger than that, because it's our afterlife. And again, I appreciate being here. I apologize for being late. I guess I messed up the time, but it's an honor and a privilege to be with you.
Oh, man, totally glad to have you here. And you know, so much is going on in the modern world, which I'd like to get all three of your thoughts. We'll go first Jeff, then Glenn, then we'll let Zach be the anchor commentator instead of the anchor bowler. It seems to me, you know, we all have various sensitivities intuitionally, you know, energetically, to a greater or lesser degree, but it seems like there's a lot of major things happening, and a lot of dark events that are being thrown at us to try and trigger some type of collapse of first world countries, some type of, especially the United States, some type of hot civil war between the various factions that don't like each other and are egged on by the eternal enemy, the international Jew. And so what's your sense? Are you feeling that too? It's like every day something pops in the news, like right now, this week. Why are Pakistan and India suddenly getting into, you know, they've had their differences ever since the Hindus kicked out the Muslim Pakistanis with the Great Migration how many decades ago, and they, you know, they don't like each other, but why suddenly are they massing on the border for a potential hot war, and both countries have a lot of nukes? It's just insane. And you go down the line with all these crazy things that are going on, especially Trump, you know, triggering so many libtards and woke types. And it's just, do you sense this? There's like this dissonant energy, like something's just going to blow, like a pimple that needs to be popped.
Well, our favorite group is being eviscerated in the court of public opinion right now, for the first time in this nation's history. And probably.
I agree. Yeah.
Hopefully for the 110th time, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And historically, though, this is the beginning of the end for them. When you have to start passing laws to protect your group, it's over for your group. Whether it takes a few months or whether it takes a decade, the end is near for them. And so I think they're panicking. And that's why we see such a ramp up with the Gaza situation, with Ukraine, with India and Pakistan, the use of directed energy weapons. I have folks, friends, we can get into this later if you like, but I have a friend who was in North Carolina, ground zero in Asheville, and went through the whole thing and then worked as a triage afterwards.
Yeah, I would like to hear that.
The story.
Jeffrey, your thoughts. Let's jump to Jeff. It seems like something's there. The powers that should not be, the so-called deep state, are really trying to get something to blow the lid off. Your thoughts?
I tend to agree with Glenn. I think that the, you know, the people, they're being exposed, the arch enemy, and I don't think the exposure is total yet, because I think the union of Judeo-Christianity really can't be separated, but we're starting to see that as well. But I think it is true the rats are scurrying off the ship, if you will. But I've said, pardon me, for the last 15 years, I've said a couple things. I've said, we're the last generation of real humans. Everybody used to ask me what that means. They don't anymore. And I've also said that this world's going to be better than it's ever been sooner than even we can imagine. And I still believe that, G-Man. And I believe that because I had to go back to work because I got kicked off of everywhere, shadow banned everywhere.
Right.
Pardon me. And I went back to work. And since I've been back to work, I've talked to people from just about every race that feel the same way that we do. They're sick and tired of this control matrix that is bearing down on us. And I'm convinced that it's our job to optimize the white race. We've got black kin that are going to optimize the black race, brown kin that will optimize the brown race, yellow race, red race, the same. And there's a real hunger out there, G-Man, for all of these races to optimize themselves. And once we do get optimized individually as races, and white guys can't really help black guys, red guys, yellow guys, you know, it's a racial thing. And once we unify and turn and march against the Judeo-Christian fear and guilt, blood magic matrix, I still contend that they will do what they've always done. When they see this massive army of optimized humanity marching against them, they will turn tail and run like the cowards they are. I think we have to be ready for things to get kinetic, but I don't think they have to still. Maybe I'm Pollyannish, but I feel it with everything that's in me, G-Man.
No, I totally agree. Zach, your thoughts? You feel like something's building?
Yeah, you know, kind of off what both Jeff and Glenn said, and by the way, it's a pleasure to meet both of you. I appreciate your words, Glenn. You know, tagging off what they...
Huh. Zach, can you hear me? You just got cut off. That's unusual. Typically, his internet signal's pretty good.
Internet, man.
Well, let's give him. Are you there, Zach?
Hello?
Oh, there he is. Okay, Zach, you dropped abruptly.
What the hell is going on with this thing?
We can hear you, Zach.
You can hear me now?
Yep, go ahead.
It's this damn internet. It's been going out like this off and on for the last month or so. So I don't know how much you guys heard, but I said, first off, Glenn and Jeff, it's a pleasure to meet you guys. And Glenn, thank you for the words. And to tag off of what Glenn was saying, you know, there is this this state of panic as these Jews are seeing everybody start to recognize the issue. They're jumping in and attempting to control both sides of the conversation. They see people talking about Jewish power in the United States, in the West collectively, in Israel, things like this. And you know, I think there's also this piece where they have this year 6,000 thing that's going on with their prophecies, where they believe that all of this stuff needs to culminate and occur before the year 6,000, which, you know, for a Gentile, that might sound, oh, well, that's so far away, that doesn't really matter. But on the Jewish calendar, it's like 5,700 and change. So they're getting pretty close. They're a couple right. generations away. From what they believe needs to be the fulfillment of their prophecies. So they're basically ramping things up and putting this pressure on to attempt to get this done as soon as possible in preparation for what I believe they falsely think will occur.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It's year 5919 on the Jewish calendar, according to Jason Brashears from Archaics, who's done yeoman's work on this.
5919, so it's less than a century to their big old 6,000-year thing. That's really interesting. You know, I thought Jeff, and certainly want to get everybody's thoughts. We'll go Jeff, then Glenn, then Zach. I thought you made a great point that the, you know, I've spoken to many of the different tribes in my life, and basically, you know, you kind of feel them out and like, do they get it or not? And the ones that get it all pretty much want the same thing. Like used to interview Ayo Kamate regularly, but then he kind of started to have too much of an anti-white message instead of an anti-Jew message. So that's his prerogative, but we can't have that here. And, but you know, he used to say he just wants a black separatist, and you know, even to the point where he suggested, look, whoever helps get rid of the happy merchant gets a chunk of land, right? And that makes perfect sense. The same with the mestizos. They want their own, you know, they feel like the Southwest and California are theirs, but you know, can't agree with that. But anybody who helps deserves to get their part of a reward for the victory, or they get to go back to their native countries. Either way, they don't belong here, but there's no reason to, in my opinion, not have an adult dialogue with all these different races, because basically they all want the same thing. And then I'm even willing to throw them a bone, like, you know, big cities like Los Angeles or New York, they can remain the, you know, multicultural cesspools that they are. If you really are drawn to that, if you're the arty type and you want to be around all the other races, well, that's where you want to go. But the rest of the country gets the thing. You know, there used to be a saying when I was a little boy and even before I was born, the whole separate but equal thing. And really, but that's what everybody wants. You know, if there's $100 million going to the white communities for education, $100 million needs to go to the black communities. And it's up to you to police and educate and you know, grow your young violent goofs into mature adults who are no longer violent, low impulse. And you know, where's – okay, I'll stop right there. And do you agree that basically – all we need to do is get rid of this Jew with their constant tiki alam, which means fix the world, but they cut it off. They mean fix the world by corrupting every other country and race for the benefit of the Jew. That's the joke of tiki alam. And so Jeff, really nobody wants a race war. Everybody just wants their piece of the pie to live in a modicum of safety, a modicum of economic opportunity, don't you think?
I wholeheartedly concur with you. And I've always pronounced it tikkun olam, but we're talking about the
same thing. Oh, tikkun olam, okay, there you go.
I don't know if that's correct or not, but basically the overriding goal of tikkun olam is to have a bunch of beige androgynes and the Jewish race.
Right.
And people of character and integrity across the races are all realizing, wait a minute, this anti-race goes along with, you know, no sexes, and they want to make us all, again, a beige bunch of androgynes. And I think that ideally, each race, we all have a homeland. I think that was given to us by the Most High. We all have our own homelands. We all have our own ancestry. We all have our own inheritance. And I might get in trouble for this, but I don't think white guys need the whole world. I think we need our part of the world, but we can right. share. I don't think we have to fight it out so much. We can, but once we can come against the Judeo-Christian matrix, kick them the hell out of the way, then we can sit down as equals and negotiate where each person can go. But I think we've proven, history's proven, nature's proven, that it's just not optimal for the races to live together intermingled. I hope we can have some cultural exchange on a regular basis, but we need to be separate, and the equal comes, G-Man, in each race evolving and achieving to the limits of their own initiative and their own ability. And I do think we as a white race have a responsibility to bring our high culture, to bring our high religion, to bring our high everything to the rest of the world, give it to them as a gift, and let them run with it as they may.
That's really well said. And, you know, I haven't heard the word androgyne in a long time. That's a great use of that word. So, Glenn, your thoughts on separate but equal as Jeffrey laid out?
Well, it's simple sacred geometry in physics. If you look at the artist, the painter, he has an easel with all these beautiful colors on the palette, and they're all separate. That's what creates the magnificence. If you take all of those colors and mix them together, what color do you get? Shit.
Yeah, brown. That's right. Yeah.
So that's my first statement on it. Secondly, there is a magnificence to the separateness because we can just simply travel if we want some Baba Ganoush. We don't need it on Main Street necessarily, right? And throughout history, every single multicultural experiment has been a failure. And it had to be done at the point of a sword or the point of a gun. So we need to have a voluntaristic situation here. And America was designed that way at the beginning, as we know, but been corrupted by our favorite group again. And if you look at all of the pillars that make the white culture magnificent, they've destroyed every one of them, or attempting to.
Oh, that's a great point. Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. You know, separation is obviously key. We can see, I mean, all you have to do is take a look around and you can see the results of a multicultural society. No one's happy. And this goes all the way across, right? So the whites that are happy are more, they're just more content because they don't see the issue and they've been trained to not see the issue. I wouldn't call it actual happiness. I don't think they're actually thrilled with the circumstances. If they got to see a distinct, you know, interaction between an all-white society and one that is multicultural, I think they would find an easy preference in the former. They just don't physically see these things. And additionally, you look at blacks, and I mean, look at the complaints they have in the modern day about white supremacy, you know, white power, things like this. Their complaints and their contentions are literally that we're trying to hold them to a standard that they're incapable of holding. They're not capable of holding those standards that we set. So they see it as white supremacy. So obviously this is a relationship that can't work. You know, it's like putting the good old red ants and black ants in a jar, right? They'll all kind of walk around and do their thing. But the second any little conflict occurs, you shake that little jar up, they start attacking each other brutally. And it's basically what we experience here is now that hardships are coming into America, artificially imposed by our favorite friends, we now see the result. And that's constant chaos in between both of these races. And it's only going to increase and get worse the longer that we stay together, because our cultures and our wants and needs are not compatible with each other. So separation is absolutely necessary. And I, too, am an advocate for that happening in a peaceful manner, as best that can happen. I don't think it's wise to push for this concept of race war. I hear this a lot in our circles, and I think it's very short-sighted, because the people that are going to fight that war are the good, hygienic white people that are aware of this problem, those liberals that love multiculturalism. If anything, they'll actually be fighting against us, right? So we lose the best of our blood in some unnecessary conflict. It just makes absolutely no sense to me. So, yeah, that's my take. I think we need separation, and I think that needs to be peacefully incentivized.
That's a great point. And as a follow-up, same order for the three gentlemen, is I've had a theory for quite a while that one of the most insidious and effective strategies of the synagogue of Satan is to prevent the you know, historically in many cultures, there's a wisdom path to adulthood, right? You're allowed to be a child for a while, and then there's various steps to prove that, you know, you're a man or a woman within the society, and once you achieve those steps, you're given you know, the reward of being respected as an adult man or woman. And I don't think that I think the international Jew has got a very sophisticated psyop going to keep most of humanity who is not self-driven, and sadly that's most of humanity, in a state of perpetual prepubescence. You know, so like the violent mestizos or the Negroes are about an age, you know, 3 to 5 years old, emotionally super low impulse, to the fact where even if you get these educated white shit libs, they're still can be so triggered by Orange Man Bad or what. You don't want to have this guy who cut off his Johnson. You don't want to pretend he's a woman. How dare you? And then they chimp out. So I think that that is one of the most effective reasons that we see in my lifetime. I'm a few years older than you guys. When I was a little boy in the 60s, man, you had people on television like the Ed Sullivan Show, like Nat King Cole, and you had, you know, brilliant, you know, the Berry Gordy Motown, the Supremes, the Temptations, the Four Tops, and then you had the Philadelphia Soul Sound. And they were skilled musicians, skilled singers, doing it all themselves. Barry Gordy was a peer of the Jewish record labels. I mean, and so they, you know, in our lifetime, we've seen this insidious Jew psyop to where, you know, now they want to do this rap music and they want to bring the culture down to where it's violent miscegenation, drug use, you know, everything that we see now. And this has literally gone on in the last 50 years, basically. And it's heartbreaking. So your thoughts on this? I believe this is a synthetic, very sophisticated strategy. And your thoughts, Jeffrey?
I'd agree with you wholeheartedly. And just as a quick aside on our last subject, if we look back to World War II, I mean, the gallant chancellor, he had an alliance with the Japanese, the yellow man. He had many alliances with black Muslims, separatists. He had alliance with American Indian separatists. So he was not against this by any means. And I think he did a few things right. And G-Man, I think what you're hitting on, in my view, is very profound. And it goes back to, in my view at least, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you have kind of the pie in the sky and the sweet by and by after we die mentality. Mm-hmm. Everybody's focused on what happens after here. And of course, a natural correlation of that is we value less what we do while we're still around down here on the ground. And if you are devaluing life itself and just putting off real living and real optimization for the future in some celestial palace, then it's natural for these things to happen. It's natural for these things to take place. And when we put the value back on not just living life here, but maximizing and optimizing every single moment, then we'll come to the realization of the things that are most important. But as long as we are, you know, they say heavenly minded, no earthly good, that's probably kosher disclosure right there. We've got to get ourselves back to where we understand the beauty, the power, the vitality of this life, and we start living every moment like it's our last and maximizing and optimizing ourselves second by second. I think Glenn and his work really helps people get to a place where they can understand that, because we've got to clear out all this pollution to allow ourselves to really be human again.
Oh, really well said, Glenn. Your thoughts then, we'll go to Zach.
Well, ironically, what Jeffrey just said, if you look at the Talmudic religion, there's no concept of heaven. They don't have an afterlife concept. And so that's why they're so materialistic. They feel like these 80, 90 years that we have on this planet, it's time for yachts and cocaine and hookers and complete control of everything that you have, that you touch. And no concept of morality or ethics or afterlife. And I do agree that we shouldn't be completely focused on the afterlife. I think that goes too far the other direction with the Christians. We do need to understand that this is maybe the only time around. Who knows? No one's an expert on reincarnation or anything. But we need to raise the bar in every way that we can here. And I do believe that the stars are aligning for us to do that. at this point in time. I don't know how ugly it's going to get before we get what we want, but this is our window of opportunity right now.
I tend to agree. Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you actually, you both make fantastic points about living for the material world. And this is a very big problem when it comes to Jews themselves. They're primarily focused on material. Now, we have to have like this really healthy middle ground for ourselves where we recognize that this world matters in itself, right? And there are things here that do matter, such as human happiness, human excellence, things like this. Those are necessary, but we also have to have some kind of a higher calling or some kind of a spiritual belief above ourselves. And this is something that Jews don't really have. Essentially, their higher calling is, again, control here, right? The glory of the earth is their higher calling. Hence why they're, you know, pushing technocracy and trying to, you know, essentially immortalize themselves, live as long as possible. I would not be surprised if there's technologies that we are not fully aware of that these Jews are using. I mean, look at how many of these Jews live till at least the age of 90. I mean, how old did Henry Kissinger live? Look at Soros, Sheldon Adelson. Yeah. I mean, these people seem to live a hell of a lot longer. You know, you look at the average life expectancy for whites, it's like 70s, 80s. I think Asiatics, it's a couple years higher. But it seems unbelievably higher in Jews. I mean, look at all the Holocaust survivors, quote unquote, that are like 90 or 100. I mean, it's ridiculous, no, right?
They're 112. Yeah.
Yeah. Pushing 130 now, some of them.
Yeah, you'd nice think that putting those diamonds up their pooper would kind of damage the colon a bit, but it hasn't. So, yeah.
Well, I can guarantee they have access to technology that I haven't even been shown yet in terms of anti-aging.
Can I throw out a radical idea?
Absolutely, yeah.
This is something that my wife has been saying to me for at least the last 3 years, and she's one of the smartest people I know and obviously a woman of great taste, but she has said to me, and I'm now beginning to believe it, and this goes to Zach's point. We're told over and over again the Jews are 2%, 2%, 2%, 2%. I've become pretty much convinced that the actual Jewish population's way more than 2%. Thoughts on that?
Completely agree.
Oh, man. More and more I'm leaning that way as well. I think that the whole eternal victim thing they need those numbers to be low, that, oh, poor us, oh, the Shoah kind of nonsense. Yeah, I think you're onto something there. And it's funny that I was having a discussion with one of the regulars in the chat room and sometimes co-hosts, Dave Straight Out of Swampton, and he brought up last night, we were on the phone or the night before, and he's like, man, have you ever looked into the claims of the population of the earth? It's nowhere near 8 billion. I mean, they're using that, and we all, why should we doubt the government? Gee, I wonder why. But, you know, I'm starting to think there's merit to that as well. There's just, what have we ever been told that's completely the truth, right? They use these specious half-truths, and so we believe the part being reared as decent white men, family men, that we want to think that everybody else is for the greater good like we are, and the fact is they're not. So that's a great point, Jeff. And so speaking of this past week and the craziness, I don't think there's anything more absurd to me than this guy, Governor Hot Wheels, who is going out of his way to get up out of that wheelchair, and Greg Abbott stands for Israel. And it's like, what the heck? You know, I've been in Texas for various business things the past 30 years, and I'll tell you what, there's you know, you get engaged in discussions, especially back, you know, when I was younger, used to drink a bit, and then you can really engage in discussions with Texans. And I can tell you, basically, I came to the very real conclusion that Texans don't like Jews. And so now all of a sudden they're sending billions of dollars. Did you see the budget that the city of San Marcos said, why are we paying into this? We need this money here. And Abbott, so what do they got on this guy? Do they got a like a 4K videotape of him sodomizing a 4-year-old boy or something? I mean, what is wrong with this guy not serving the citizens of Texas? So let's go the same order again, Jeff. What is up with good old Governor Hot Wheels?
It's a great point again, and I think that it goes beyond, you know, Governor Hot Wheels, but definitely for him. And a lot of people don't realize the high Jewish influence in the Lone Star State, but also, how do I put this? I think all of foreign aid, and Israel being our largest recipient of foreign aid, you know, these billions go out, and the question is how much of that money comes back and gets distributed to all the people that voted for it and authorized it. So these right. guys are financially incentivized to stand for Israel. Plus, as you said, G-Man, they've all got, Israel knows where the bodies are buried, so to speak, and they know yeah. what's being buried in bodies, too, by the way. And it brings me to another little thing I'll throw out. You know, J.D. Vance, one of the last guys to see Pope Francis before he died. And I'm not saying that J.D. Vance killed the Pope, but what if whatever that entity is that lived in the Pope was transferred to J.D. Vance? Reason being, they tried to do their Christian identity, their Christian nationalism, weren't able to do it through the Catholic Church exclusively. Why not transfer it over into a guy that may be in the White House one day and at least has access to the White House, trying to do it another way? So I obviously agree with you. There's financial reasons why Greg Abbott and everybody else wants to stand for Israel. They want to keep getting paid. Plus, they're the ones that keep getting them elected, and they're the ones that know where the bodies are buried, so to speak. And have they tried to move to another phase of bringing about this Judeo-Christian domination of the earth through some swap of entities that have just been empowering the religious side? Are they now trying to move that into the political side?
Oh, wow, that's really ponderous. And yeah, I mean, the guy was like, Vance was like on a death tour. Everyone he met on his trip dropped within a day or two. That's really interesting. And that makes a lot of sense. I love that kind of crypto conspiracy stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing with the Abrahamic religions is they really downplay the fact that there are all kinds of sentient energies in the multiverse, and a lot of them see us as food. They like to feed off our hate, our fear, but you know, that's a great point, Jeff. So Glenn, your thoughts?
So let's remember that the bleeding tip of the spear here for our favorite tribe is to get the Christian Zionists on board, whether it's in America or in the G20 in the West. That's this whole game hinges on these people. And as the Christian Zionist group begins to wake up to the atrocities in Gaza and their support for this group that obviously hates them.
Right.
I mean, this is Stockholm Syndrome on steroids.
Indeed.
I've never seen any group of sycophants like this. Why would you love someone who hates you and wants you dead so badly? So sad. It's like the tattletale in school. Remember, we were growing up in elementary school. There's always the snitch, right? Snitches get stitches. So, yeah, I'm convinced that this is the game that we're watching play out in America in particular, but the West in general, that the Christian Zionists need to wake up and understand that these people are not working for them. And this is not a Judeo-Christian nation. It's archetypally a Christian nation, but that's a whole nother discussion. That's the game. And I think it's exciting to watch people jumping ship. You look at Candace Owens and Dan Bilzerian and all these high-profile people who are coming out now. Tucker Carlson's even talking about these things. He had Catherine Austin Fitz on the other day. So the dam is breaking, and people are moving away. And so my point is, Texas is ground zero because of all the Christians there. And they're all a lot of good patriots there, too. So whether these patriots wake up and become anti-Zionist or not, that's the game.
Great insight. So, Zach, your thoughts on Governor Hot Wheels?
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with the point that he, him and many others that are so controlled by these fucking Jews, I don't think it can be purely financial. You know, you can get people to do a lot of things when you have financial control over top of them, but the amount of public humiliation, the display of just complete cowardliness that you get from so many of these politicians, I really don't believe that that can be purely financial. They have to have, whether it's blackmail, sex tapes, as you were saying. I mean, there's so many different things that can be present here, but it just can't be only financial. And I really do wonder what they have on him and many of these others that fall into this pitfall of just constantly promoting these disgusting agendas and these people. It's got to be more than financial. It has to be.
Well, it could be going back far enough. The children of Cain versus the children of Amalek. Maybe these folks are Freemasons. They may not be Jews ostensibly or overtly, but deep down in their hearts, maybe they're siding with the children of Cain. And we've heard Netanyahu refer to this over and over again. Amalek, we're going to wipe you out. Well, you know what? White Christian American, that means your ass, not just Muslims.
Exactly.
Okay? You know, this is the stupidest group of people on the planet. It is so frustrating.
And the hubris that when you point these things out, instead of like, maybe you're right. No, they double down and consider you a hater or an anti-Semite or anti-religious. Cause we know the word of God. We're Judeo-Christians. Yeah. It's what an incredibly effective, mind rape. And it's just, leads me to my next question for you guys. We'll go the same order, is that when I was growing up, and I grew up working class in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, from the 1930s to the 1970s, my family had a bleach factory. I literally grew up in a bleach factory, and weekends we would do fill the orders and then save my dad money. And then we'd go out to eat. And that was a big deal to go out to eat in the 60s. Now it's commonplace. But, and one other thing is that what happened in grade school, Catholic grade school, for snitches is, they'd be walking down the alley and about five or six guys would come up to them, grab their tighty whities, lift them up extremely painfully and hang them on a fence post. And then we'd just walk away. So it was an effective deterrent because a couple of those guys got it. Nobody snitched anymore. So
bring back hazing.
Yeah. But where I was going with that observation of the past is back then there was this big thing about, you know, get dressed up to go to church. Literally, you know, my Sicilian Nanu and my Nana were devout Catholics. You know, they'd get dressed up. We'd go to church on Sunday. Then the family would get together on, you know, for the classic Sunday meal with everybody attending. And there was a message that was always sent, you know, polite company, even though we, you know, on my father's side, we're immigrants. I'm second generation Sicilian, is, polite people. And we want to be polite people, even though we're working class. You never talk about, religion, politics, or money, right? That's been, was the message of polite society. And yet those three categories have been the three battering rams that have literally destroyed our white high-trust society. So isn't it about time, Jeffrey, that we start talking about religion, politics, and money, because they're all tied as the three most effective weapons of the international Jew?
Great points, G-Man, great points. And I've always thought that they don't want us to talk about religion and politics because those are the two most important things that allow us to live divine, sovereign, and free. But until you said that, I didn't realize the connectivity back to that Judeo-Christian fear and guilt, blood magic, mind control matrix. Because if you can keep people ignoring the truth, keep people ignoring the problems, then the problems never get addressed. And really, G-Man, when you think about it, we got nobody to blame but ourselves, do we?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Very well stated.
Glenn, your thoughts? Did I cut you off, Jeff? I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, it breaks my heart to think about how the wonderful zeitgeist and ethos in this country, how it was and how things are now. And the low trust society is definitely a painful one on the heart. You know, just simple things like, can I send this package and will it get where it's going without being stolen or intercepted? Or
yeah,
is this person going to pay me back? The social fabric has certainly been tainted in a painful, painful way. And it's, if you look at it, obviously it's been Judaized at every single turn. And boy, if we could get back to at least a portion of the ethos that you're referring to, Giuseppe, that would be such a blessing.
Oh, absolutely. Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a real dangerous aspect here with the whole don't discuss religion and politics. You know, I can somewhat understand religion to some level, because I think that is more personal for a lot of people. The problem is that people bottle the Jewish problem in with religion, right? So yeah. Basically, by saying don't discuss religion, it's also by effect or by extension saying don't discuss Jews, because they're just a religious group, right? Which is one of the biggest subversions around is this convincing that we're just dealing with a religious entity here. They're white people, but they're just of a different faith, and that's a big reason that why the average American won't discuss Jews or Jewish power or the Jewish problem, because they don't want to be rude to somebody about their religion. So that's a big piece. But you know, we can also see, though, to some extent, when we're talking specifically about in-group, our own people, the religious question, a lot of times this comes up and it does turn into pretty flagrant kind of conversations that get pretty pretty heated back and forth, and can sometimes be unproductive. So as long as it's done in a productive manner, I think that's okay. But also the idea to not talk politics, since I was a child, that has always been an insane thing to me. I mean, the literal thing that makes society run, let's not discuss that. Let's just like leave that on the side and let's talk about sports or the weather instead. You know, it's just so absurd to me. You know, imagine looking back at history, all of the fantastic people we have in history, whether it's, you know, Socrates back in Greece, or you look at these Roman emperors that we look up to, or some of these great German generals and things like this. All of them were involved in politics. It's quite literally what made them great. All of our history as we know it is political. So to ignore those things and to not talk about those things, I mean, it's literally suicidal. I am very against this concept, and I think that needs to be beaten out of people, because you'll have a lot of people in modern society that I try to talk to and say, hey, you know, don't you think it's a little weird that Jews control this much of that, or that they're pushing this? And their instant response is this kind of shutdown and, oh, I don't want to talk about politics. It's my day off. And yeah, it's like, Well, that's not, I'm not really even talking about politics here. I'm just saying, don't you think that's a weird thing that's happening? And they have this conditioning where you can't discuss things that are deemed political. And that's dangerous and needs to be broken down big time.
Well, and piggybacking on that, Zach, you know, what's interesting is our favorite group, one minute they're a religion, the next minute they're a race, the next minute they're a country, the next minute, right? They're always changing their face to suit the discussion, and you can't have it eight ways.
And if right? I may,
great point. Go ahead,
if
Jeff.
I may just tag onto that as well, never discuss religion, never discuss politics, and as the G-Man said, never discuss money. And if you think about it, it has that mindset has also infected the conspiratorium, as I call it, all of us, in that, you know, we'll question everything, we'll investigate everything, but there's only two things we know all of history is very, very bad, except for the history of World War II. It's 100% right on. And everything else needs to be investigated and broken apart, except for the Bible. It's 100% right.
That's a great point. Great point. You know, this is just the great show. It's just zoomed by, and hopefully you fellows will return back regularly. This has been just a high level discussion between various generations of white men. But I do want to say hello. I'm kind of a little behind the curve, but I want to say hello to the people in the chat. And Hund Blondie, hello. Thank you for joining in the call-in show on Wednesday. You were excellent. My buddy Dave, straight out of Swampton's here. Great to see you, Crystal Knight. Some of those memes are awesome, especially the one. Well, here, let me put it up. That one really broke me up. You're one of. Here we go. Let's see. There we go. When a time traveler tells you that your son will be a Christ cuck, and they got the gun pointed at the eggs, the jewels. That's really clever. That's really good. All right, and so thank you, Lori, for your generous donation. Appreciate it, and we'll get into that in a second. Crystal Knight, again, great memes. Let's see. Veritas, great to see another incredibly bright white man in the chat. It's always brings so many truths. Always Honest this year. You were great last night on with Davis Lerman as co-host. That was great to see, along with Klasha, who's also here. Great to see you. And thank you, Always Honest. Very generous donation. Truly appreciate it. And we'll go to that right now. That remember, and let me show you right here. There's the homepage for FTJ Media. And I'm so great. The biggest name to use FTJ Pro is none other than this honored guest, Jeffrey Daugherty. And you can scroll down. Oh, I went too fast. You can scroll down and see all the hosts. And then we go down a little farther. And you should really be subscribing to there's the great Alfred Schaefer, David Duke, Dr. Sean Brooks. He doesn't do live shows, but he's a brilliant guy, and he puts them all up here at FTJ. Tanitris does great show. Jason Kessler's here now, and amazing guy, and wrote a brilliant book exposing all the traitors of that time in Charlottesville, which should have been a really great a moment for white men, and instead it was a trap set by the International Jew. One of our newest guys, really creative, Johnny Doomslayer, Volks Media. I'm glad to see he's here. Spy Hunter, and there he is. There's the man. So you need to subscribe, and we got to get Jeff's numbers up, and you got to check out his shows. They're just fantastic. And anyone you want to support, all you have to do is sign up for FTJ. It's nothing more than give your email address and be able to fill your wallet, which is be credit or debit card. And then you go up, and let's go back here live. You go right there, that little green button, and you click on it, tip using your FTJ wallet. And it's real simple. Put $100 in your wallet. And so if you want to give, Jeffrey Daugherty $20, you want to give the G-Man $20, you want to give Zach $20, you want to give Davis Lerman $20, that's how you do it. And the beauty and generosity of Dave Gahari is he only takes out what the processor charges him, which is 3%. That means 97% of your donation goes to the talent, goes to the creative people who spend hours and hours. I mean, clearly, when you hear Jeffrey Daugherty or Zach speak, these are men who have spent tens of thousands of hours learning. You know, they're not some of these goofs on the internet. They call up Wikipedia and think they know what they're talking about by citing Wikipedia, which is laughable. Other than looking up all the tracks on an album or who's in a movie, Wikipedia is pretty worthless, certainly not an intellectual platform. And so if the host is not live, so you want to click on one of Jeff's videos or Zach's videos, once it starts running, you can get this green button right here, which allows you to tip when they're not live. Again, you can do, you know, it's up to you, but all the hosts put in a lot of time. And if you can afford to, you know, $10, $20, $50 donations mean a lot to all the hosts, because we're all trying to get by, and we don't have, which is so heartbreaking, Jeff, that you had 100,000 followers on YouTube when they screwed you and shadow banned you. And another way to support FTJ, because Dave puts a lot of money, his own money, as we grow, FTJ will be in the green, but right now it's a little in the red, so every FTJ pro person or donates helps the cause, but he's got Banned by Amazon, which is a great new website, literally bannedbyamazon.com. And these are all the books from Money Tree Publishing or Jim Fetzer's Moonrock Books that have literally been, everything I'm scrolling down has been banned by Amazon. And so now you can use this site because the International Jew, the happy merchant hand-wringing money changer, really likes to shut down processing for people telling the truth. But they figured out a way to get a processor. You can use bannedbyamazon.com, use your credit card, your debit card. Or what's cool is you can go to Money Tree Publishing and you can use crypto, Zelle, and anything. So Dave is tenacious, and he's figured out ways to allow people who need these books to hey, that's cool, John Massaro's book. I didn't know that Dave picked up John Massaro. Will Vaccines Be the End of Us? That's a great book. John's a talented, working class guy in Long Island who figured out that the Jews poisoning all of us. And look at, Siege, James Mason doing a show here now. David Duke's books. Those are autographed books, by the way. That's why they're a little pricier and all of this. So if you can, you really need to own some of these books because you support the effort. Dave's, got multiple imprints, like I just showed, Banned by Amazon or Money Tree Publishing. The key differential is credit cards at Banned by Amazon and crypto at Money Tree Publishing. And so that's my little promo. So back to the discussion. So fellas, let me turn it over to Zach. Zach, anything you want to bring up with the guys to as a question or a platform for discussion that I haven't brought up in hour one?
Yeah, actually, I kind of want to return back to a comment that Jeff briefly made about Jewish population and the understatement of how many numbers they have. I think this is really accurate and something that should be more thoroughly looked at and discussed because, it allows them to operate and seem as if they have less control. Cause a big argument point that you get when you talk about Jewish power, people will say, oh, well, they're only, there's only like 2% Jews. So how could they have that much power? How could they have world power? That doesn't make any sense. That's always an argument that people make, which obviously that in itself is already daft, unquestionably, right? That they think that just because they have a small population means they can't possibly have a grand conspiracy. But to add further to that, this also touches on the whole Holocaust thing, because we have a lot of lies there around how many Jews were present, how many Jews are around. I mean, geez, they said 6 million Jews were apparently killed in this quote-unquote Holocaust that they claim. But at the same time, we know that there wasn't even 6 million Jews in Europe at this time, collective right. Europe, by their standards. Now, this is their standards. So if their standards state that there weren't that many Jews there, but they also state that 6 million died, that kind of implies that there might be more Jews than they report that there are. And I've heard that they only report on quote-unquote religious Jews, meaning Jews that practice in the faith and go to synagogue and things like this, which we know that most of the Jews in power don't do those things. You look at Henry Kissinger or most of these collective Jews, they're atheistic. They don't believe in a God, and they're very open about that. They're Jewish purely in a racial sense and by their following of the Talmud. That's about it. So I think there's more there, and I think there this is maybe a good discussion point to reach further into about what the actual Jewish population number might be and what that implies if it's higher than they say that it is.
Jeff, why don't you go first, then Glenn, then I'll share my thoughts. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, like I shared with you, my wife has been bringing it up to me for years, and I've kind of just let it slough off. But the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. And G-Man, I think it's incumbent upon me, in the past, Mr. Gahari and I have not always seen eye to eye, and I was not nearly as gentlemanly as I should have been. And I really want to, publicly apologize for that, and also just say how excited I am to be here. And we don't have to agree with everybody 100%, but you look at the integrity of this platform, the integrity of the 3%, and just all the him putting so much money into this. And I'm very happy to be here. And I'm very much 100% in support of this platform. In fact, I'm going to try to move all of my followers, subscribers, et cetera, over here and be a part of, you know, making this the, you know, de facto platform for this great move of our people. So, again, you
That's
know,
awesome.
It's just the way it is, and I felt like it's something I needed to say.
And just shows you're a class act. And, you know, I was actually on the phone with Dave before the show talking about some other things, and he even mentioned that, you know, tell Jeff that I'm not a thin-skinned guy. That was nothing. And, you know, we just, you know, we're all under various pressures at certain days, and certain days are not good days. So it's all good, man. And it's so exciting to hear that you're going to – you want to join the team as far as studied white men, learned white men who are trying to somehow wake up the whites who aren't as learned, aren't as studied, but are you know, it's like an onion. We're trying to peel off layers, and the Israelis are doing us a favor, really, by creating mass murder, genocide on TV 24/7, and TV being the internet. I mean, I am so sickened when seeing these dead little Palestinians who are the actual Semites, who are the natives of the Palestine, and this Jewish invasion, and the vicious ferocity of, and I don't want to get off the topic too much because I wanted everybody to comment, of the murdering to take this land. So they're doing us a favor as we're trying to peel off layers of people who are suddenly open to the Jewish problem. It's not a question anymore. And so that's really great, man. It's so good. Like I said, I've been a fan of yours since I discovered your work like 5 years ago. And so let's go back to Zach's idea. Glenn, do you think that the happy merchants are once again deceiving the rest of the world with their population numbers?
So I have a Talmudic scholar acquaintance here in Boulder, and he says it's 30 plus million, not 15 for them.
Wow, there you go.
It's part of the deception. By deception shall ye do war, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of war, I'd like to mention this. I think this is pertinent. You know, you go back to Lexington and Concord, or you go back to the Napoleonics, or even back to World War II, there was a certain honor of men in uniform representing an ideology, doing battle. But this whole idea of wiping out women and children, these people are the biggest effing cowards in the history of the world.
Yes.
This is not men in uniform fighting against men in uniform. This is a genocide of women and children. You disgusting, disgusting cowards. This is not warfare. This is genocide.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I think honorable men around the world can see that this is a completely different type of warfare.
And just to throw in my two cents, I completely agree. I think the numbers are vastly underrepresented. And what's even more heartbreaking is, let's say that the reality there's, you know, 30 to 50 million Jews. In America, there's probably 40 to 70 million insane evangelical Zionist Christians who are even more rabid about wiping out the native Palestinians than the Israelis are, and the Israelis are pretty damn rabid. So it's just an embarrassment to me that these people, I mean, everything's energy and frequency, as Glenn can tell you, and I can tell you from my training in Oriental medicine. And the energies that these people open, the dark energies, it's nearly possession that overtakes them. They just have a hate and a hubris in them that is just beyond reasoning, in my opinion. And Jeff, you would know more than anybody. I mean, how frustrating is it for you to have been a Christian proselytizer, to have deeply studied the Bible and the concordances and really understand what's going on, and then you try to share this with these obstinate, hubristic, closed-minded individuals? It's got to be incredibly frustrating for you. So your thoughts?
It really is. And, you know, Glenn earlier mentioned Stockholm Syndrome, and couple of years have talked about spiritual Stockholm syndrome. And, you know, brilliant people that are great thinkers, they just refuse to consider the Bible as a piece of literature. We can't look at it as literature. In fact, I was at work and I had this guy come up to me and said, "Well, Jeff, you know, the Bible says that all men are liars." And I knew where the verse was, but I said, "Where was that verse?" He looked it up. It's Psalm 116. "Yes, it says all men are liars." "Who wrote Psalm 116? The guy's name was Alan. He said, "Well, David wrote Psalm 116. I said, "Wasn't David a man? So how can we trust what is written by men if all men are liars?" So just the breakdown of just regular cognition. We can't look at the Bible objectively. We can't look at World War II history objectively. And just to introduce another thought, I didn't introduce one when you asked me to, talking about population again, what percentage of the population in the world today are actually NPCs? What would you think?
Oh, non-player control. That's interesting. Oh, wow. I mean, geez, probably, I don't know, I'll say 20%, maybe high or low. Everybody can take a guess. Then Glenn and Zach, how many percentage are NPCs?
So you've had a guest on, Dr. Richard Souter, who's actually been a patient of mine. He's probably the expert on this concept. He believes it's 30%+ that are actually Silicon-based, kind of like a Westworld scenario.
This no gets way, wow.
Fascinating, fascinating territory.
Yes.
So yeah. What else would explain this move from the zeitgeist that we were talking about in the 50s and 60s in America, this semi-utopia, right? And I'm not saying it was perfect, but it was a hell of a lot better than now.
Right.
How do you take that and how do you spin that into the shit show that we have right now? This is how you do it.
Oh man, that's really ponderous. Zach, any thoughts on that? You know, there's always been saying for decades that the real technology and knowledge is anywhere from 20 to 75 years ahead of what we know in the mainstream world. So if, you know, they're already experimenting on people with this mRNA and trying to create this nanotech that grows in bodies, and but who knows what the hidden are doing. So that makes a lot of sense. Your thoughts, Zach?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to say. I don't have any personal information on it, so I don't want to make any kind of speculative comments. But, you know, on with the term NPC, I mean, we do have a lot of people that are just lame brains, which would essentially already fit into the category in itself, right? A lot of your average sports fans who just want to kind of come home after work every day, working their 9 to 5 very robotically, come home and subconsciously kick back beers and ignore the world at large. So I think we have enough of those to begin with. Yeah, I would say, I mean, if we bottle them in the category, we could definitely say like 60 to 70% of the population, because they're not exactly functioning with full gears.
That's great. And to get back for a moment to Jeff's earlier point, it's like of David who wrote that psalm. And, you know, there's a great author named Kersey Graves, and this is his book. And, you know, the crucified Savior is very effective, because before Jesus, the Christ, there were 15 other crucified Saviors, including Mithras, like 600 years, Zoroaster, 1500 years, going back. And it's a great book. And, you know, the wisdom, the aphorisms in all the great books, you know, that have been written by, well, like in Oriental mysticism, the Tao Te Ching and the other great books, you know, basically over the last 50 years, I've read them all. And there's a commonality of trying to inspire the individual human to be better, right? In fact, in the Tao Te Ching, it's the superior man does this, the inferior man does that, right? And so it's assuming that you have enough self-discipline and maturity to take those lessons and run with them. And that's the case with the Bible, there's so much beautiful things there to be the foundation of a high trust society. Again, as a little boy, I lived in a Christian, especially Catholic, high trust country. I mean, everything, you know, when Kennedy got elected, they were worried that, the Catholics are going to have too much power. And man, you know, back then Catholics served their white communities, the Italian churches in Milwaukee, the Polish churches, the German churches, you name it. And now Catholicism is controlled by Jews. I mean, Bergoglio was a crypto Jew. Bergoglio who just died is a very dark, evil man. And as I've said in previous shows, that guy was the head Catholic in Argentina during the wars of freedom fighters, and he would broker deals between the Wanta and the freedom fighters. And because, you know, Argentina, devout Catholics, they figured, well, if this archbishop's bringing us together, maybe there's some hope of negotiation. And then Bergoglio would go out the side door, and the Wanta army grab these freedom fighters, take them out over the Atlantic Ocean, and drop them from 5,000 feet and disappear them. And I've read where he did that for as many as 500 freedom fighters. So he's a child rapist. There's no alleged he did it. And it's just so sad. My point being, and I'll turn it over to Jeff to elaborate, is like for high trust white society, there's nothing wrong with something like the Bible that guides you to be a better person. But when it becomes dogma, when it becomes idolatry, it doesn't really serve the individual. It doesn't serve their family, doesn't serve their community. And so, you know, somehow, you know, again, we were talking about, or in hour one, about this insidious strategy to keep most of normies at some prepubescent level. The worst is with religion, Jeff, where you've got a PhD type person as far as intellect. You start talking about the Bible and suddenly they're 3 years old and you can't question the Bible. It's crazy.
You sure you want to talk to the Christian whistleblower, G-Man?
You know, if I can interject real quick, this is important. The word Jesuit means Jew suit. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Right.
And also the Jewish control over the Catholic Church was codified with Vatican II in the 1960s, along with the Kalergi plan, right? They greased the skids energetically and philosophically at that time period to take control, because why would you want to have violent interactions between the Catholics and the Jews when the Jews can just take over the Catholic Church and control billions of people, right? It's very, very clever. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, great point. Go ahead, Jeff.
But to your point, G-Man, there's no denying the fact that when, you know, Christianity, predominantly run and administered and embraced by white people in America, it was a much better world. Now, I would submit that the world was even better, because you got to remember, as a religion, Christianity is Johnny come lately. At most, it's 2,000 years old.
Right.
And we have, I have the burden, I guess, of having an associate's degree in anthropology, and that teaches that human culture sufficient to support religion has been around for at least 50,000 years, at least. So while it would be good, and some of our friends advocate, let's go back to that white-controlled Christianity, which was good for us, I would submit that it would be even better to go back to what we had for 48,000 years before we ever heard the word Christianity, when white people and black people, brown people, red people, and yellow people were worshiping and practicing their indigenous cultural ancestral religions. And the only problem I have with the idea that, oh, we were better when we were Christian, yeah, but that's not the best. To me, the best is, let's go back to where we were when we were with our ancestral culture, with our ancestral gods, our ancestral goddesses, living in the fulfillment of our inheritance. Why go halfway back? Let's go all the way back. And I would submit that obviously it was better in the 40s and 50s when white-dominated Christianity was the norm. I'm telling you, it was even better when it was white people, black people, brown people, red people, and yellow people involved and dedicated in their own ancestral inherited faiths.
I have to agree 6,000,000%. Glenn kind of jumped in. Let's go to Zach, and then Glenn can jump in after Zach. Zach, your thoughts on I have to agree with Jeffrey.
Yeah, I personally agree as well. I don't really have much to add on to that, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Glenn, do you want to jump in with anything else?
I like this Zach guy. He makes profound points in just 3.2 seconds.
Sometimes I feel I'll just be adding unnecessary filler. So
he knows when to shut up. Jeffrey and I know a gentleman named John Lash. I actually put them together. John is the preeminent scholar when it comes to comparative mythology right now, and also Gnosticism. And if we're being honest with ourselves, the Gnostic vision or mythos is actually a much, much higher vibrational state than any of the religions that we've been, that have been foisted upon us now. So, and that doesn't negate the brilliant Viking mythos and the Titans and the little g gods and all of those wonderful stories. Those are much, much higher vibrational stories than the blood sacrifice of the Abrahamic religions that we've been, they've been, like I said, they've been foisted upon us. That's, there's a much higher way to look at our existence.
That's a great point. Well, man, we're down to the final half hour, so I want to give everybody an opportunity. Jeff, is there any topics or discussion points you'd like to bring up that I haven't brought up in the first 90 minutes?
Well, that's a door open very wide, G-Man. You know, the thing that I kind of take maybe the most business for, the people that think I'm the craziest about, is this idea that possibly our gallant chancellor did survive World War II. And that this whole mythos of did he go to Argentina might be a cover story for the fact that whether it's down in Antarctica, whether it's in the Untersberg, which is a mountain he was obsessed with in Germany, is there or what are the possibilities that he is, because time changes or passes so much differently in those type of environments, is he possibly still alive? We're seeing all of these UFOs coming out now. They all look incredibly like the same ones that, you know, the Reich had back in World War II. What are the possibilities that he is still alive and there is a new Luftwaffe, if you will, ready to render assistance to us, but they are not coming back to save us. They're waiting for us to show ourselves worthy and do all we can do, and then we might get some insistence. And I even throw in his JFK there, but that's just me.
Well, hold on. One of the most compelling stories I've heard you tell on various shows is when you were a young man in the military and you were over there and you were in the mountains and you heard someone calling a German shepherd, and it's, tell the story. It's just fascinating.
You want me to tell that now?
Sure, if you want. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was in the U.S. Air Force for almost 7 years, and the last 3.5 years of that were in Germany. And every year we would go down to, ironically enough, this big Christian conference that was held in Adolf Hitler's Berghof down there in Berchtesgaden. And the third year I was there, I'd got to know the caretakers, and he tossed me the keys, and my buddy Herman and I went down into the bowels of the Berghof, which had tunnels that went all the way to the Königssee, which is St. Bartholomew Chapel, where Silent Night was written. They went for miles and miles and miles, and we're down there just wandering, and we were coming up on this bend, and we heard... And my German wasn't great, but we heard a male voice in German calling a dog named Blondie, saying, "Come here, my love." And we heard the dog bark, and then we got spooked and turned around and went back. And for years, G-Man, I was convinced that must have been an energetic residue. That must have been some type of a time slip. But now I'm seriously questioning. I think I'm convinced personally. I mean, was I 15 feet from meeting the living Adolf Hitler and the living Blondie? That was the name of the dog. And then right. if you go a little bit further, I was a Christian then. I probably never would have made it out of there if I had actually come face to face with them. But I'm convinced, and I mean, I'm just convinced, G-Man, that it is definitely a reality. And maybe that's what gives me so much hope and optimism in the face of all the facts that seem to argue so strongly against the possibility of us winning this and maybe not having to have a super kinetic conclusion to it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that story. And what's so funny is I've spent half a century since I'm 65 and a half, I've been fascinated by the story of abnormalities in our reality, right? And there are thousands, not tens, not hundreds, thousands of instances where an individual it walked into a cave and he came out and it's a century, you know, he literally walked through some type of portal and he came and he saw the world a century later, managed to find his way back, told everybody what he had done. There've been other people who just disappeared. And then, intrepid investigators have seen their picture, of, you know, in the 1800s. And then they see him in like a recent picture. So again, there's so many fascinating things. And then you look at, a fellow like Dr. Michael Cremo, who has totally been ostracized by mainstream archaeology, and he's found so many instances, physical proof of all we're told about our history is a lie. And so I just think that's fascinating. And I think that the more, especially now, you look into the amazing scientific advancements in quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and so, you know, a lot, most people don't understand anything past Newtonian physics, which is, yeah, an apple drops from the tree, it'll hit you in the head, but there's so much more now, and there's mathematical proof that everything you're talking about, it could have been some type of portal, or he could have been alive, right? Either way, I just love that story. So,
and G-Man, as recently as the 1980s, there is verified documented facts from the German government, which is famous for the record keeping, of people emerging from the Untersberg, that mountain, 70 years after they went in it, no older than they were than they went in.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so cool. So cool. All right, man, I have to start doing my Art Bell imitation. But I just love that stuff. So, Glenn, anything you want to talk about in these final 20 minutes that I haven't brought up yet?
Yeah, not to shift gears entirely, but, you know, being in alternative medicine, seeing a lot of folks with damage from the Kike spike,
yeah,
as we like to call it, turbo cancers, clotting. I do have a colleague who was speaking to a coroner friend of his. He said that when they do autopsies on folks who have been vaccinated, their pineal gland is dissolved. So this goes beyond the ACE2 gene, which everyone can look up. We don't have time to go into that now, but
right.
This is a race-specific bioweapon. And our favorite tribe does not have the ACE2 gene, but everyone else does magically. So they're dissolving the pineal gland, and also they're finding that young men who die from the vaccine, their sperm has been replaced by the spike protein.
Wow. So wow. Evil. I mean, it's funny. I mean, everybody's vilifying RFK Jr., but he's slowly bringing up all these points. And he's slowly, you know, as we well know, there's never been a vaccination with a true AB placebo blind test, which means the new vaccination is A and B is saline solution. Instead, what they do is A is the 2025 vaccine, B is the 2023 vaccine, which is just so deceptive. So slowly, that's another very encouraging sign that so many people know. I know 50 people who have been murdered by that bubonic Jew jab. Literally, you know, been done many things in various chapters of my life and career. And you kind of run into people or talk to them or social media and like, did you know XYZ died? I'm like, no way. And then when they talk about cancer, the brain didn't have any cancer, and so many instances. And I'm just one person with various, Venn diagram circles in my life. And this is getting worse and worse. In fact, there's this New York Jewish journalism professor, Mark Crispy Foreskins, who puts out this daily email of died suddenly. And every day, I mean, there's a lot of these B-list, C-list celebrities who took the jab to work, and they're dropping like flies. It's unbelievable what's going on. So go ahead, Glenn. Sounds like you want to jump back.
Well, it was an IQ test, and unfortunately for children and older adults, you know, they didn't get all of the information. Certainly it was foisted upon certain people, but anyone who volunteered for it, sorry, you just failed the IQ test.
Yeah. And energymedfit.com. And let me put that in the chat room. Glenn, you have so many fascinating and effective natural and high tech solutions, frequency healing, energy healing, cutting edge nutrient combinations and all that. So I urge anybody who's got issues that they'd like to discuss and don't want to go see a corporate allopath, go to energymedfit.com and sign in. And, you know, Glenn himself will spend time with you. I know dozens of people that Glenn has personally helped over the last 5 years that I've referred to. So I can vouch for his company. So
I appreciate that. And any of you who have loved ones who have taken the jab, we do have ways to detox that are much deeper and safer than the wellness company and this whole group of Zionist clowns. So be very careful who you listen to in the alternative medicine space. We have a new product called DC5 that can actually cleanse the blood in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Very, very safe. It's a nanofulvic acid. Jeffrey's experienced it recently.
That's awesome.
If you'd like to weigh in on that. But we're excited about the future of anti-aging, as long as we can get these folks out of charge who are in charge now, because they're blocking all kinds of great potential.
Oh, heck yeah. And it's one cool thing, and then I'll turn it over to Jeffrey to talk about his experience with DC5. Mm-hmm. But another thing that's very cool is my friend Dr. Judy Mikovits has been saying in her various show appearances the last 5 years that she worked with a woman who created a peptide T 40 years ago, could never get it past the FDA. But now there's so many functional medicine doctors who are degreed and licensed as allopaths, but are like, this is poison. And they're bringing peptides under their license and things like the, IV of vitamin C, IV of the Myers cocktail, which is C and D and some other nutrients. And there's so many natural effective ways to fight cancer. In fact, even the whole Western definition of what is cancer, I think is all wrong. But it's very exciting. And there's companies now, these peptide websites, they're like, this is for research only, wink, wink. You know, you're not going to actually use it, wink, wink. And there's so many things finally coming to market, and people are using the back door around this corrupt FDA, although Kennedy Jr. is certainly not corrupt when it comes to that stuff. But so, Glenn, have you anyway, let me turn it over to Jeff to talk about DC5.
Well, I've only been on it for less than a week, but I immediately noticed I started sleeping straight through the night when normally I get up at least twice. That was a very profound effect. And I forgot to take it yesterday, woke up again twice last night. So I can say on a very short study of it, of a week, it's a huge difference in my sleep. And boy, better sleep can lead to a whole lot of great benefits.
Oh, my God, that's so true. So, Zach, anything you wanted to discuss? Now we're coming to the final 15 minutes of the show.
No, I think overall this has been a very productive conversation. A lot of interesting thoughts being poured all around. And, you know, I really am going to be pondering on the Jewish population numbers
for yeah,
the next couple
I
of days
too.
And doing my research, because – You know, again, we're dealing with like a, it's kind of like a Trojan horse situation where you're under the impression that there is a very slim number of these people operating and doing things. And, you know, I know that there's communities of them even in rural areas where there's a lot of them, and they cluster. They're kind of they're like ants in that sense, that they cluster together. Like New York has like neighborhoods where there's like hordes of Jews that live together, and the school buses even have Hebrew written on them, and they have their own police force
and their own ambulances, their own EMTs. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which by the way is insane. What other group has that? You know, do you have like a Muslim center where it's a bunch of police cars that are in Arabic and school buses that have Arabic written all over the side of them?
Well, I think that's coming in Dearbornistan. That's something I wanted to bring up after you finish. Is that is disgusting. The Muslim majority in Dearborn, Michigan is turning that into Dearbornistan, but please continue.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't have much more to tag on to what I was saying. And you know, most of... when you're looking at the Muslims coming in here or the blacks or things like this, as terrible as it is, where they're just occupying these areas, we always have to remember who's the one pushing them in here, who is advocating that they get into our countries, who's opening the door for them. Literally, I mean, our Department of Homeland Security that physically controls our borders is a literal Jew. So, yeah. I mean, these people are absolutely controlling every aspect of this. And, you know, it's, as much as it's frustrating that these people are coming in mass influx and we don't want them here, we also have to remember that they are only here because they're being brought in by a force that's far more dangerous than they ever could be. So we always have to keep our eye on the ball for that.
That's right.
Oh, great point, man. Great point. All right. So that was the other topic I wanted to get to, which is the heartbreak of Michigan, which was one of the, you know, the bastions of manufacturing. The car industry was there. So many other real manufacturing, living wage jobs were there. And now literally, I was reading this week, I'm just looking to see if I have it here in my Telegram news feed. There was a cool little montage, but it might be in Twitter. Anyway, the point is it's now Dearbornistan that they are talking about instituting Sharia law in Dearborn, Michigan, which is just insane. But that's the path of all Muslim invasions. They're the religion of peace. And so you find peace by becoming a Muslim, or you find peace because they'll kill you if you don't become a Muslim. So Jeff and then Glenn and then Zach, you know, how much more tolerance do we have to show for this Jew-driven, illegal, alien, military age invasion that we've experienced, especially since that vile kike Mayorkas literally was like the modern day Jew opening up the gates of Toledo in Spain. I mean, he did the same thing the last 4 years under that day walking zombie Biden. So each of your thoughts, start with Jeff.
Well, I think probably the greatest weakness of the white race is that we have this pathological tendency to be too nice to too many for too long.
Yes.
And that's where we are. But it's interesting you bring this up, because just yesterday I had a fascinating conversation with a man who was an immigrant from Afghanistan. He barely escaped the Taliban. And we fall under the media conspiracy of thinking that every single Muslim is an extremist. And the reality is that there is a small number of Muslims that are extremists, and there's right. another group of Muslims that are also sick and tired of this Judeo-Christian fear and guilt, blood magic, mind control matrix, and they would stand and fight shoulder to shoulder with us to rid our land of that scourge. And then again, we could sit down and, you know, negotiate terms with one another. So I think it's important to remember that radical Islam is our enemy. I would suggest that radical Judaism is our enemy, and yes. radical Christianity is our enemy. Radical Abrahamism is the enemy of all people, but we've yes. got to make sure, I mean, and we all know that there's some white trash out there too. We've got to take care of our own backyards, but let's try to remember, as hard as it is, that a lot of these extremists are minorities within all of the human populations. And I think there's still more of us that want to do right, that want to live in peace, that want to be divine, sovereign, and free, but we're so hidden because we won't speak up. But as I think Glenn brought out, and Zach and you as well, G-Man, we're starting to get sick and tired, and we're starting to realize that we've been too nice for too long, and we're starting to stand up. And I'm convinced that when all real humans stand up, we can defeat this enemy, and we will.
Well stated, Glenn. Your thoughts?
We must defeat this enemy, or we're going to have a Noahide technocracy living in slavery like a bad movie.
Yeah.
And I'm normally a glass half full guy, but I think that we need to be very cautious. We're looking at a potential Soviet style collapse in this country here very soon with the Chinese tariff issue. It's going to take us months to years to rebuild manufacturing here. And there's so much social strife between these groups that have been artificially placed amongst us by our special friends. And we need to do something about this. And I would argue that the Dearbornistan situation is a middle finger from the Kikes to Henry Ford directly. This is what happens when you
great point. Great point.
Right? We're going to ruin your beautiful, beautiful town, right? Just watch the videos on Dearborn. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's so sad. And again, I'm putting it in the chats, Glenn's excellent website, energymedfit.com. You know, the great shows really race by. So let's start with Zach and then Glenn, and then we'll give the final word to the brilliant Jeffrey Doherty. So, Zach, start with you, your final thoughts, and don't forget to promote your excellent regular shows.
Yeah, thank you, G. It was nice to have two different guests on. First time meeting the both of you. We've had a lot of guests on in the past and a lot of recurring guests, so it's nice to see some new faces that are very aligned. I'll have to be in touch with the both of you in the future. Very very interesting discussion points. And Jeff, I'm happy to see that you're on FTJ. It's nice to see more people migrating over. We need good, solid advocates for the platform that give it a good image. So I think you certainly fit that role. That said, just to promote my stuff, I am, you know, Logos Revealed I on Twitter. That's my main platform. If you go onto my Twitter, there's a link in the description. It's bio.site/Logos Revealed. And that'll give you all of the platforms that I'm on. We've got Odyssey, Rumble, FTJ, and there's couple ways to support my work there as well. I do a show typically on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. However, I haven't been live in about 2 weeks because I've had some awful springtime allergies that actually culminated into allergy-induced pink eye in both of my eyes. So I've been kind of keeping myself away from a camera for quite some time.
I'm finally a
bit better, but I definitely, my eyes are still not applicable for a camera at the moment. So I'll be back in full swing very shortly, hopefully. So
fantastic.
Thank you very much.
And you were great as always. So Glenn, your final thoughts, and don't forget to give a pitch for your excellent company, energymedfit.com. And by the way, I'll just say that Glenn was into energy healing, frequency healing 25 years ago when nobody knew what the acronym PEMF even stood for. So he's got a gravitas and a curriculum vitae unlike anyone else.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. Certainly any listeners who have loved ones who are sick or injured or have taken the jab or have very difficult to define maladies, we do have an AI type of testing that we can do over the phone called New Vision. Giuseppe and Jeffrey, I have experience.
That is freaky accurate, man, just over the phone with the internet, freaky accurate.
So don't buy into this telemedicine with regular Western doctors. What do they have to go by? Your symptomology or some blood work? That's not accurate. We can do a much deeper dive on telemedicine, first and foremost. And secondly, with tissue regeneration, we're healing broken bones in 2 weeks with PEMF. We've taking care of stage 4 liver cancers in 3 months, leukemia in a year. So don't be afraid to give us a call and step out of that Western paradigm for chronic disease states.
Fantastic. And what an honor it is to have the Christian Whisperer, the brilliant Jeffrey Doherty, come on the show. Hopefully this will be a regular thing, guys. This is just a elite discussion. And Jeff, why don't you tell everybody how they can support your efforts and follow? You used to do like sometimes 2-3 shows a day back in the day when you were rolling. So when are you doing your shows now? And I look forward to seeing them live on FTJ Media.
Well, G-Man, after listening to you, I'm going to have to get bigger headphones because my head's getting much larger. Ah. But right now, the best place to find me is I'm at Unindoctrinate on Twitter. I'm also on a platform called Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N, by migrating over here to FTJ. I do have a website that's Folkin, V-O-L-K-K-I-N.com. That's where I kind of congregate everything. But it's been an honor and a privilege to be with you today, and I will be on here with you anytime you like. I'm trying to do shows Thursdays and Fridays now because I'm committed to some employment since I've been super shadow banned. And the last thing I want to leave with people is that we are the last generation of real humans. We are divine. We are sovereign. We are free. There's no reason to go on bended knee to somebody else's savior. And this world will be better than it's ever been, sooner than even we can imagine, because we've all realized we're the ones that we're waiting for. And I really appreciate being here with you, G-Man, and this esteemed panel.
Oh, man, this has been just so enjoyable. And Zach was right. I was getting a little stale and bringing interesting regular guests, but you guys need to be the new interesting regular guests, because this has just been so good. And I just want to lastly thank the donations for today. Let me open up the history thing real quick. And, okay, so today's hard to believe it's already May 2nd. I want to thank Always Honest today and Lori. Really appreciate the donations. And, again, all the hosts really appreciate donations. So I mentioned again, I'll do it real quick. Right here, which is you just go up to that little I have to do it here actually. Go up to that little green button, tip using your FTJ wallet, and again, incredibly generous Dave Gahari, 97% of the donation goes to the content creator, as opposed to Rumble, for example. Trump's Jew buddy Howard Lutnick owns Rumble, and he gets very close to Dave Gahari in generosity. He only takes 40% of your donation. So that's what you're dealing with at Rumble. And so everybody, if you know anyone, FTJ Pro, $50 a year or $5 a month, gets you on this excellent platform, which is intended to be YouTube, which turned into JewTube, which censored all decent, intelligent white people and based people. So YouTube is for everybody else in the world. FTJ Media is our YouTube, is for white truth tellers, based truth tellers, and they can have their platforms. And now finally, thank God, we have ours. And what an honor it has been. And I hope everybody has a great weekend. It's May already, so crazy. And I want to thank Zach Logos Revealed, Glenn Streeter, and Jeffrey Doherty for joining us. And I assure you, they'll be back next month. So until then, have a great weekend, everyone. And stay strong. And don't forget, like Jeff said, it's up to us now to fix this. The Jew has run rampant for far too long, and that's coming to an end. All right. God bless us all. Have a great weekend, everybody.